Welcome to Rehab for Runners, the podcast for runners who are ready to get out of pain and run with more confidence. Dr. Lisa will guide you with the clarity you need to unleash your potential with tools, practical tips, and exercises so you can enjoy your runs and exceed your goals.
Welcome back to the Rehab for Runners podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lisa, and today's special guest has been running for 30 years. Welcome to the podcast, Shelley.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here. So you're just saying that you've been running since 1995, which is incredible. And I'm sure you've seen like an evolution of running since then. As you know, social media is exploding in the runner's world. There's so many inspiring runners on Instagram, social media. More and more runners want to start running or push themselves out of their comfort zone with their running goals. And today we're going to talk about the longevity of running, because it's one thing if you can run for a couple months or a year, you know, if the weather's nice when you want. It's another thing to be running for 30 years. So Shelley, can you talk to us a little bit about your running journey over the past 30 years?
Sure. I'll try and not take decades to So I think in general, really, I was thinking about this on my walk this morning. Like, the theme over the last 30 years is I've always ran because I just like it. Like, it's as simple as that. You know, a lot of people are like, what's your why? And I'm like, it's literally because I just like it. And I started running in high school because I was like on the soccer team. I have never been a very like good athlete. I'm not naturally talented. And I was like heading into my junior or senior year. And I was like, I feel like I'm going to either get cut or sit the bench. And I didn't want to do that. So like the only other option seemed to be like, well, I'll just start running. Like, we didn't have a ton of options of like women's athletics, I guess. I mean, that were available if you were just a really mediocre athlete. So I just started running then, and I liked it. And that's it. Like, through the last 30 years, I've always just run because I've enjoyed it. Which doesn't mean I like every run I go on. It doesn't mean I don't like procrastinate my runs. It just means that's always been why I've done it.
That's great. So have you raced over the past 30 years, or like, when did you start getting into racing?
Yeah. So I have probably run over 100 races, like official like time races. I think the first one I ran was maybe like in 98. I keep thinking it was around there. We have a thing in Chicago called the Taste of Chicago, which is just like a big festival, like of food. And they're, used to be a race called Race to the Taste. And I think that was my like first official race ever. And it was a 5K. And I'm sure I had no idea what I was doing other than it was like, cool. Like, I lived in the suburbs at the time. Like, let's go to the city, do the race, and like go to the Taste of Chicago. And so that was like, I think like 98. And then I don't think I officially ran a race again until maybe like 2000, I did like a turkey trot in college, because I was in college from 98 to 2002. Mm-hmm. And I went to a college kind of in the middle of nowhere that didn't have like, you know, local races. But then in 2001, I decided to sign up for the Chicago Marathon. That's my hometown race. I didn't end up running it because I broke my foot 2 weeks out. But I would say from like 2001-ish till present, I've been like a habitual racer.
Awesome. Yeah. What is your favorite distance to race?
I think the half marathon. I probably have run more half marathons than any other distance. I love it because obviously it's a significant amount of mileage, but you can also run multiple in a year, I think, without mm-hmm. risking as many injuries as maybe running multiple marathons. I love the marathon distance, but just being self-aware enough to know, like, I'm a one marathon a year type person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely relate to that.
I find 5Ks to be so, so hard. And I really like 10Ks. But yeah, I think I'm definitely more of like the longer for me, mm-hmm. the better.
And I think that's so interesting as even I progressed my mileage into like more of a marathon and like racing more marathons. I find that it's like the more mileage you run, the more you like actually hate the shorter races. They are hard. It's a mindset shift. And it's like very hard to go from racing a marathon to racing a 5K because you're like, this is taking forever, which also doesn't make sense because
right.
you run a marathon, but you can't even do that. Like,
racing a 5K is so hard. I mean, running them for fun is one thing, but like mm-hmm. racing a 5K, I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a toss up that a marathon or 5K is harder.
Yeah, I completely agree. So you've done over 100 races. That's incredible. So what, besides just enjoying running, what would you say, and it doesn't have to be just one thing, but what would you say has allowed you to keep running for 30 plus years? Have you created a routine for yourself, or talk to us more about that?
I want to put a caveat on this. I don't want anyone to think I've done it perfectly, because there have definitely been chunks of time where I've had to take a step back because of injuries. I've had a lot of setbacks. And I think what's kept me going is that I've never seen a setback as the end of my like running career, and learn that it's not the end of the world, and that I've learned also that after you have a setback or after an injury, that oftentimes you come back, maybe not necessarily stronger right away, but you come back smarter. And
oh, yeah.
That I think, now that I'm thinking about it, is just this evolving like runner's intelligence has kept me going and learning from. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes in the past. Like, I've had surgeries, I've had, you know, broken bones, I've had stress fractures, like you name it. And so instead of like sticking my heels in and not learning from that, what I've learned has, I think, allowed me to keep going.
Oh, I love so many things you said. And I think I really like the runner's intelligence, because it's like, you know, you can be a runner who just tries to go out hard all the time and just ignores what their body's saying. But if you have runner's intelligence and you're a smarter runner, you're able to train smarter, you're able to learn from your mistakes. But I really like when you said that you basically can come back stronger after an injury. I mean, I see this all the time, and it's one thing for me to say it, but it's another thing for people to say it at not as a PT, because yeah. It's like, okay, I'm as a PT going to be addressing where you are weak. Like, that is my goal. Where are you weak? Where are your weak spots that I can turn into your strengths? And like you said, it might not be all at once. It can be super frustrating if you're going from running X miles a week to now doing like exercises on the ground. Not very fun, but as you progress, it's like, okay, now I see why I'm doing this. Now I see how this can help my running. It's always looking for like the positive too, it sounds like. Being able to see like, okay, this was weak on me. That makes sense why I got injured. Being able to learn from, you know, almost like those mistakes or like those areas of weakness, being really, really self-aware. So I love that as a PT.
Well, and like I have spent, if we added up the hours, probably months of my life in PT. So like so much respect for PTs, like so much, and not just because you are one, but like you guys are like a godsend for real.
Thank you.
Do your stuff. Like I feel like with the first round of PT I ever had when I was like, I don't know, like 20, I didn't do my exercises at home. You know, like now I'm like vigilant, like, you know, and those kinds of things too. And the older you get, I do think they become more and more important, but like not just going to PT, but actually doing what your PT says.
Exactly. Yeah. So important. I mean, as PT, the goal is obviously to get you better, to get you running pain-free. So things that, you know, sometimes when I say something to a runner, it might not be what they want to hear, but it's in their best interest to listen and then apply it. Because again, like, I'm not just trying to make your life miserable.
Right.
I'm trying to actually help you. And I've seen it before. There's very little things that surprise me these days.
Yeah,
but
sure.
In terms of like your injuries, let's talk about more like your running performance, because, you know, you can't really run like 100 races without having a good nutrition plan.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how has your nutrition plan like evolved over these years?
So huge evolution. And I think some of this, we have to go back, like, honestly, to what we as in Gen Pop, I think, kind of knew back when I started running. And means a lot of this is still around today, unfortunately. But like, I sort of grew up in the era of, first it was like no fat, low fat. Then it was keto. We called it Atkins, which is now like keto,
yeah.
You know, South Beach. Like I literally grew up in like, I think like a very heavy diet era. So, and I do think that contributed to a lot of my early injuries. Like I had a stress fracture in my femur. I had a stress fracture in my foot. And I think back then, I'm like, I'm betting a lot of that was because I was so undernourished.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, as years have evolved, like I also got a certificate in like nutrition, because I just was like, this shouldn't be happening so much. Like something is wrong with me. Like, why am I like having fractures in my bones? I'm like 20 something years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, unfortunately, it took some pretty serious injuries to take that, for me to take that seriously and say, kind of step out of like, you can either be a runner or you can be like a lifelong dieter. But like, mm-hmm. it took years, and it's still not always easy to get there, just being real. But I think educating myself about the importance of fuel, the importance of recovery, the importance of giving your body what it wants if you want to do this. And I'm not saying like you can't ever have a goal of like weight loss, but I am saying that there's a time and a place for it if you want to have a long career as a heavy mileage runner.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, like, I completely get what you're saying. I think that's something that a lot of female runners and male runners definitely struggle with. A lot of people might even get into running for weight loss, and then you get more addicted to running, and then you realize, oh, maybe I should be fueling. But then you have this constant battle, like, should I fuel? I'm trying to like cut calories. I've definitely been there. And I think for me, I know like a lot of nutrition and like aspects of nutrition can completely cause like a full breakthrough when you're running in the best way. I know for me, it was marathon training. I did not fuel before marathon training. It's so embarrassing to say. I ran two halves, not a single drop of fuel, nothing, just, you know, just suffering, really. And I think for me, like, I was like, all right, well, if I'm getting into the marathon distance, I have to fuel. Like, that was one thing. I was like, I have to fuel. But then it was a mindset shift of everything I ate outside of running, where it was like, this is fueling my body. And like, I feel better when I'm fueling better and like, you know, fueling, eating better, eating cleaner, eating healthier. And it was like a mindset shift of like, I'm not eating because I can, I'm eating to fuel my body so I can run better and perform better. And that was like the biggest breakthrough that I had pretty much last year, was understanding like the role of fuel. And so I completely get it, because I mean, I still grew up in like a good diet culture, like
sure.
A lot of runners.
It hasn't gone away. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of runners do think too, like, if I run, I'll be, you know, lose weight or whatever it is. And I think once you really understand like what is the role of fuel and what is the role of like the foods that you're eating outside of running, that plays a huge difference in like your performance.
Yeah. And I think going back to something you said in there was feeling the difference when you are fueled and when you aren't. And for years and years and years and years, I just didn't know how much better I could feel when I fueled. And I like have like some vivid memories of like moments in training where I was like, oh my gosh, this feels great. Like where I, for honestly decades, don't think I ever felt that way. Like my first marathon, I didn't have any fuel with me, like none. Wow. I didn't even know about it. Like, I think I went to like Dick's Sporting Goods the night before, literally, and bought like a power bar, like not a power bar gel, like a power bar. And let me tell you, mile 21, there was a very big wall waiting for me. But like, I didn't know back then. And that was that first marathon that I actually ran, because the first one I trained for, I didn't run because I got injured. It was in 2012, which is not, I mean, it's a while ago. It's not that long ago. Mm-hmm. And I had trained with like a big Chicago running group. Like we have like two huge groups that do the bulk of the marathon training groups. Never once did anyone mention fueling. Like thinking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like we literally never talked about that. I think wow. It's changed. I hope it's changed. I don't run with those groups anymore. But yeah, I didn't have any fuel with me. Like,
yeah, you kind of wonder like, how did you do it? Because it's like, It's one thing when you do it and you're like, oh, this is just hard because like it's a marathon or it's a half marathon. Like that's exactly what I thought the first half. I was like, I'm just hitting a wall because this is a half marathon and it's hard. And then you don't realize like when you fuel and you can actually compare how you're meant to feel and like you're meant to have energy. You're not meant to be like running on E all the time. It's just a very different perspective change. I know like even it's funny because I have really low blood sugar. And like if I don't fuel within like an hour of the run, I will like start shaking. I'll feel like I'm going to pass out. And that happened to me on Sunday a couple of days ago because I just had breakfast like too early and then waited a little bit before I ran. And I just remember like when I was running, I was like, okay, one, this is awful. Like, I really feel like I'm going to pass out. But also, this is how I felt during all of my runs for like 4 years, which is awful to think. Like, I'm just on the verge of passing out. Like, I just think I need water. Like, that is awful to think. So it was like, okay, like, even on short runs, it's really important to fuel pre-run for me. And like, it's going to be different for everyone. But I just remember like having that comparison moment where I was like, okay, I know better, first of all. But I can't believe I used to run like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I still have moments where I'm like, even after all these years, and even though I like coach other people and mentor other people, I still sometimes am embarrassed with how much fuel I bring. But I'm like, okay, who can, like, if anyone's judging me, that's fine. Like, I bring fuel with me pretty much any run that goes beyond an hour, like point blank. Mm-hmm. Because I'd rather have it than, like you said, like feel shaky or like then I'm going to pass out. Like, What are we proving here? It amazes me how many people still seem to think like fueling less is like a badge of honor. I'm like, not just for the run, but also for your recovery. Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's like the mindset shift too that I had was like, I remember distinctly I was running like maybe a 12 miler with my training team last year. And I think I had 2 miles left and I was newer into the training and I was like, I don't need fuel for 2 miles. Mm-hmm. You know, I can just wait. And then at the end of the run, I was like, I'm going to eat my hand off because I'm so hungry. And then it was like almost like binging after when I got home and I was like, okay, now I feel sick. Like it was just dumb. It was just dumb. And I was like, okay, I'm always fueling. Like even if I have a mile left, It's not thinking, oh, well, I can run 2 miles without fuel, so I'm okay to finish this run without fuel. Like, no, there's such a big mindset shift. And I think even like how you said it helped you prevent these injuries, like it really does help our bones and our muscles and our tendons recover, repair, have that energy, making sure we're utilizing our carbs and like our fats like we should. Like it's a whole like process that we don't even realize that's happening at the cellular level. And I think, you know, like you said, like I just can't preach on this enough because I know like I want to keep running for years and years to come. And it's like, man, that took me 4 years to figure out nutrition. But it's like, okay, at least like I understand it now, and now I'm just helping to spread the message, kind of like you are.
Yeah. It's funny you said that about like the last 2 miles. I feel like no matter what, in a long run, I have that battle. Like, should I take one more? Shouldn't mm-hmm. I? I'm like, why not? Like, what is the big, it's like, I still perpetually have that in the last like 2 miles of long runs. And now, mm-hmm. It's like, now I just do it. I'm like, yes, take it. Like, you want it? Yeah, take it.
I remember my stomach, it will not hold back, and like it will growl so loud mm-hmm. because, again, I think it's like low blood sugar and like my metabolism's pretty high. And I just remember apologizing to the people I was running with, like, sorry guys, it's just my stomach. I'm like, no, I'm taking a gel. This is so embarrassing.
For me, when I don't fuel enough, I get really bad. Like, I get like really bad GI distress, and I, for years, like I'd go on a long run and like no matter what, had to find a bathroom. And then that was something that I learned over probably more recently, actually, was that underfueling is one of the main triggers of GI distress. And a lot of people are like, no, if I eat, then I'm going to get an upset stomach. And it's actually very much the opposite. Like, sure, if you eat the wrong foods before, like if you're eating like, you know, high fiber and french fries, yeah, that's gonna cause some issues. But more often than not, it's because you're really under fueled and there's nothing in your stomach that's going to really stress out your system. Mm-hmm. And since I've become so much more vigilant about intra run fueling, I mean, I still have my days, but most of the time I can go out on a long run with confidence that like I'm not going to have to find a bathroom along the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
A really big win, you know?
Yeah, it is. That can like totally destroy just how you feel about running. And I like that you said that, because a lot of runners will think like, oh, all fuel's the same. Like if I'm having GI distress with this fuel, even like, then I'm going to have GI distress with like all gels or like mm-hmm. all fuel. But I think it is about it's trial and error. It's trying what works best with you. And it's trying while you're in training, maybe close to your house or a bathroom, like before you actually get into that race. Nothing new on race day, obviously, but just, you know, don't be afraid to try certain things and like read reviews, ask your friends what they're using, because, you know, nutrition is always evolving too, just like we are.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something that I really emphasize to people that are training for a long, especially for a longer distance. Like you've have like 12, 18 weeks to practice these things. So use these, every run is a trial run for your race. So practice what you eat in the morning, practice what you eat the night before, try different types of fuel throughout. Like there's people that inevitably like 3 weeks out, they're like, I don't know what kind of gel to use. I don't know what box to use. I'm like, well, what have you been doing the last like 18 weeks? Like you shouldn't only be fueling during your marathon or half marathon. You should be fueling for all of these training runs.
Mm-hmm. And that's just going to help your performance. It's going to help you understand how you're feeling, when to fuel. Like it's all about strategy. Like what is your strategy? And that should be evolving as you go through that training plan. I think that's really important. Like get the routine down. So when it's race day, it's like you've been here before. Like maybe you're a little anxious or excited, but like once you start running, like you've been there before.
Yeah, 100%, which is going to make like, I feel like those first few miles feel as easy as they really should mm-hmm. on race day. But if you go in like panicked about, you know, what should I be eating? What, you know, this, that, and third, like you're really setting yourself up for a really hard day if you go into that race stressed out, because there's always going to be, I think, some race day jitters, just like logistics and mm-hmm. your adrenaline's mm-hmm. going to be through the roof just because of the atmosphere. So going in literally like as prepared as possible, like you've done this on repeat for weeks and weeks, is mm-hmm. going to make a huge difference.
And I'm sure you've, you know, mastered that with all the races that you've run. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
I feel like I'm still not, like, I feel like no matter what, I still am like, a crazy person the morning of, but at least I have a few things on lock. Like, at least I know what I need to bring. At least I, you know, but no, yeah, I'm telling you, maybe there are some people that are still, that are like calm as a cucumber race morning. Like,
no, I'm not.
Like, ask my husband, I'm always like running around like a lunatic for races, like literally for races that I've, cause I do a lot of the same ones, like mm-hmm. in the city over and over. He's like, you've literally done this like 7 times. Why are we freaking out? Like, I don't know.
The worst is like, if my fiance is like dropping me off close to the start line and I'm like, there's traffic. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I don't get to the start line. Like, should I just run from here? It's like the highway.
It doesn't get better even after you've done it for decades. You're still sort of a crazy person.
Yeah. He's like, you have an hour and a half. So funny. So I know I call myself like an average runner, mediocre runner. Like, I'm definitely not, you know, elite, top of the pack at all. But like I've said before, like, social media really is booming in the running community, which has been great, but that also means there's a lot more comparison. So how have you stayed consistent with your running journey? And like, how have you stayed like true to your runs, trying not to compare yourself as a quote mediocre runner, despite like all the comparison on social media?
Yeah. So I'm definitely like a very self-proclaimed like mediocre middle of the packer, which I do feel like social media, it's funny because we are the majority of runners, the middle of the pack. And then there's like the elite front and back, and then there's the back of the pack. And I do feel like first, maybe it's just the algorithm I get served only like focuses on the bookends, which is great, but like there are so many people that fall in the middle, and I don't want people to forget that just because we might not be as visible or not as like, extremes are always more exciting, I guess, than the middle. But I think one thing that helped is that I did, and this isn't going to help everybody, of course, because I started running pre-social media. Like, I was ignorant to where I placed in, like, that I was a middle of the packer. Even during races, like, I never looked at where I stood, like, ranking-wise. I just, like, ran. I didn't know what a good pace was. So, like, to some degree, I'm grateful that I ran before social media, honestly, because I didn't fall into the comparison trap. And I would run with friends, and we honestly all just, like, we would just like run each other's paces because we just wanted to run together. Mm-hmm. Since social media, and like you said, it has become so popular, which is great for the sport. I do sometimes like start thinking like, what's wrong with me? How come after like all these years, I'm still a middle of a packer? And it really just takes for me having like a short conversation with myself, like, mm-hmm. reminding myself that's not why I run, and like it literally doesn't matter. Like there's nothing that matters about where you fall in the pack other than are you enjoying yourself. And sometimes the simplest advice I think is the best advice, but really just going back to like this journey is about you, period. Mm-hmm. And who cares about like anyone else? I don't know if I could have a more eloquent way to say it other than like literally who cares.
Yeah. That reminds me, it's kind of like it should be a journey with yourself. And I think, you know, we've pretty much all been there where you're just comparing your times. I remember in the beginning of my running journey, I saw someone's time and I tried to match it for 5 miles, and the girl that I was running with was like, are you gonna pass out? And I was like, I might. Like, and then I was like into imposter syndrome and actually almost didn't even like start my whole Instagram because of that run. I distinctly remember thinking, if I can't run X pace for 5 miles, even though it was like 100 degrees out, but still, like, just thinking like, if I can't do that, then who am I to help someone that can run? Because that's all I saw. And I was like, no, like, it really is a journey within yourself. And I think that takes a lot of discipline to like remind yourself of that. I just think of when I was in PT school, like, you're not ranked when you graduate PT school, but you would think that you're ranked with how competitive some people are. And it's like, who cares? Like, just pass. Who cares? You know, do the best you can, get better at what, you know, you need to work on, but who freaking cares? And I think it's the same thing. Like, if you start that comparison game, like, it can be really challenging. It can ruin a run. Like, it really can ruin a run.
But it can ruin my whole season. I'll tell you, last year, I decided, I was like, you know what? I've been, like, hitting the same paces literally forever. And some people are like, well, that's great. Like, you've been able to maintain, you know, at least you're not getting, like, a lot slower, even though if I was, like, who cares again?
Yeah.
So last year I was like, all right, I'm going to really focus on seeing like how hard I can push myself. Like, I hired a new coach, and like, no shade to him, he's a great coach, but like, he really pushed me and I ended up hurt. And that was because I was so stuck to like, here's my training plan. No matter what, I'm going to hit every pace. I'm going to hit every run. And I stopped listening to what my body was telling me. Like, again, you can run forever and you still could fall into the trap. Like, you know, I'm the human, just like a brand new runner. Like, I don't want you to think that I'm like, know everything. Like, and last year I really fell into this, like, okay, like, I just really want to prove that I can get faster, blah, blah, blah. And I ended up with a partially torn hip flexor. Do not
recommend. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I think I PR'd my 8K. Like, that's the other thing. Like, I don't even remember. Like, this is how unimportant in the long run it was. My marathon last year, after like all of this like super hard training, was 6 seconds slower than the year before. Like, I'm just like showing, like, you know, again, like, you, I don't know. And so what's the result is you have to say, again, who cares? Like,
yeah,
what am I going to do? Like, go and be like, oh, I don't deserve to run anymore because I didn't get any better. No, I learned a really hard lesson, actually, was that no matter what, like, you need to still listen to your body. You need to be like your best advocate. And even if you can hit paces, even if you can hit your mileage, if you stop listening to yourself, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to set yourself back.
And I think too, like, if you become too competitive, you know, there's like a healthy competition mm-hmm. going on with running, and it should be within yourself. But if you're too competitive, it takes the joy out of it. So I think that's one thing that I really appreciated with Zone 2 running when I first started, was like, I was like, just made a commitment. Like, I do not give a crap what my pace is. And when I said that, I was like free. Like, I was like, okay, well, I'm not even going to look at my watch. Like, I had the most fun running when I first started, or not first started, but once I got into Zone 2, because I didn't even look at my pace. I didn't even care. My goals weren't even about pace. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes again, like, if you're not having fun, what are we doing? You know, not every run is going to be the most exciting, fun run of your life.
They're kind of boring, to be honest.
Yeah,
if you're
exactly.
doing it right, a lot of them are going to just be like kind of boring Zone 2 or easy effort runs. And I've learned, though, now I actually really appreciate those. I'm like, oh, this feels so good. Like, it's so easy. My body's just like hanging out. The other thing that the lesson I think that I learned last year is, like I said, I've always done a lot of races because I think they're fun. I like just being around it. Mm-hmm. And last year, everything was so strategic. Like, I only did races that like fell into the training plan. I only did races that like I was going to race, not just like run. And I think that also was something that I'm glad I now like kind of took back, is that not every race you run has to be raced. Like,
yes.
You can just go run them for fun. And that's what I enjoyed so much, so many of these years, was just signing up for races, like, because I liked the shirt or because it was a cool medal. Like, and when I stopped doing that and made it all about hitting paces and hitting PRs, is when that was a pretty low point. I'm like, this isn't fun, and now I'm hurt, and I've lost, you know, I've set myself back. Again, you absolutely can have time goals, and I'm not poo-pooing that at all. Mm-hmm. But I think there needs to be a real balance if you want a long career.
Yeah. I struggle with this. I have not mastered that. I have told myself many times with races, literally at the start line, like, I'm not racing this race. And the second it starts, I'm like, screw it. All gas, no brake. I think that's something that is, it's hard for me to comprehend, just because I think I grew up very competitive with sports. And like, it was like, okay, well, if we're playing a game, like, we're trying to win, we're trying to, you know, always be better than the last one. And I think that's something where, and I keep like bugging my fiance to run a race with me, but I know if he runs a race with me, I won't give a crap about my pace.
Yeah.
Like, I will understand that it really is for fun. And it's like, you can quote party pace it. Like, I don't think I need help party pacing it, because
there's,
I'm
something
not.
I can suggest to you for that. That really helped me last year.
Yes.
So timing it so you could do, let's say you're in the middle of a marathon training cycle and there's a half marathon coming up, and let's say you've got like 18 miles to run. Mm-hmm. Use that half marathon as like the middle chunk of your run for the day. And you know that during, if you're doing an 18 miler and you know kind of what your limits are there, because you don't want to burn out before the marathon. To me, that really helped me last year, because I was like, okay, like, these 13 miles are only really just part of this 18 miler. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me like take the whole idea of racing it out of it, because I don't like mess around with my long runs. Like, So if my long run is supposed to be easy pace, or supposed to be like 5 mile warm up, 10 miles just under marathon pace, and like 4 mile cool down, like, I will follow that. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of took away the temptation for me to be like, oh, I'm going to go like balls to the wall in this half marathon just because it's a race. So
yeah, I definitely need to do that.
That was really helpful. One thing about that is, don't plan to run any miles after the race.
Mm-hmm.
Front load them, because I'll tell you, once you cross that finish line, you're not going to want to go do like 3 more miles.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, thank you for saying that, because I mean, I remember last year, I'm telling you, my mindset has changed a lot. I remember last year during training, and my training team was all doing this half marathon, but like, you know, just running at like easy pace. And I just remember thinking, well, why would you do that if you're not racing it? And like, why would I do that if I'm not racing it? But like, it makes sense. Like, you're just trying to have fun with it. Like,
yeah,
it's okay to have fun. That is definitely something that's challenging for me with a race. Like, it's, you know, it, I think it's just going to take like practice. But again, like, it's all a journey, and it's competition within myself. But it's like, all right, let's pull back the brakes a little bit. Like, it doesn't need to be a crazy like race every single time, you know?
I do think it is really hard though. Like, I, again, have not perfected it, but that has helped me, because I missed racing, but I was like, I also know when there's a time and a place for it.
Yeah. And it might be like just signing up for more races, and just understand, like, it's not going to be like full, doesn't have to be like full training plan that's like 4 months long every time you want to race, you know?
Yeah. And that, it just, you had mentioned earlier, like, about when you started your Instagram and like worrying about like, oh, you know, and I still do, you know, like, and I don't have like a huge following by any means. And my page started as like a dog rescue page. Like, it's just evolved like as years have gone on into being like, oh, like, I have a lot of information I can share about this. Like, at one point I was also just like more of a like fitness coach, but did not enjoy. And I was like, wait, I love running. Like, why am I like holding back on this? And I think a lot of it was because I'm like, well, who wants to listen to a middle of the packer? But I know the people I like most on Instagram are the people like myself. So yeah, there, you know, I don't know. I am not actually very inspired by people that are so fast, because I can't see myself in their shoes. So something that has been said to me, they're like, you're never, think you're the only one that's like yourself, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
if, if there's something that you want to see, if there's something you want to share, guaranteed with however many billion people there are in the world, there are other people that want to see the same things that you want to see and that will relate to you. And so don't ever let yourself hold back just because you're not as fast as someone or as muscular as someone or even as educated as someone. Like, you still have something to offer because you're you and you're the only you in the whole world. So share.
Yeah, it's so true. And that is something I luckily realized, or else I wouldn't be here right now talking.
I mean, thank goodness you did, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, it's so important. Like, another thing, because my mindset has shifted a lot from like the comparison in the beginning, because originally when I started the page, it was just to keep me accountable with running. So there was a lot of comparison, but, and it was always like, go out and just run as hard as you can. And, you know, as fast as you can, every single run, try to beat that pace every run. But now it really is like, okay, if you can inspire, like, just think, if you can inspire one person, like, who, they don't really necessarily care about your pace, because again, there's a lot of runners out there who might feel lonely when they're running or might need that extra boost just to get out there and just to start running. So I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Yep. So last question I have for you, what advice do you have for those getting into running or maybe even like returning to running post injury? Like, what would you say has helped you the most? It could be mindset, but what has helped you the most with that?
I think the two things I have are going to kind of coincide is, do not try and do too much too soon. You almost can't do it too slowly. Like, as slow as it feels, like, you probably should be doing it slower. And I'm not just talking about your pace, everything. Like, don't think that because you used to run like 40 miles a week, now that you've been like injured, that you should be able to like pop back in there. Like, take your time. And the kind of mindset thing that goes with that is not to see running as something that's like a temporary end goal, but to see it as something that doesn't have a timeline. So like, what's the rush? Like, why are we rushing to get back into high mileage? Why are we rushing to hit our old paces? Like, there's no finish line to running. As like, if we're speaking sort of like metaphorically, right? Like, there's just like, it's always, running is always going to be there. So why are we rushing back into it? Like, take your time. I cannot emphasize that enough. I think that is what causes, and I mean, you would know better than me, but what causes a huge percentage of injuries is doing too much too soon.
Yeah.
And that, just to keep reminding yourself, like, what's the rush here? What am I trying to prove? And take it from me, take it from someone who's been sidelined so many times. Like, it's so much better to come back slowly and not get sidelined than to try and do too much too soon. I mean, chances are you're probably going to get injured at some point anyway. Like, so why increase the risk of that? Like, do control everything that you can, because there's going to be things you can't control. So,
yeah. I like that. And just for reference, like, if I'm giving someone a return to run program, starting from like not running, they pass the return to run test, it takes about 8 to 10 weeks for them to build up to running for like 20, 30 minutes straight. Like, that is, some people are like, what the heck? Like, I can do more. And I'm like, nope, I need to see how your body responds to this load. It's not just about you doing it and checking it off the list. Like, I need to see, how does your body respond during the run, after the run, the next day, the day after, multiple runs in a week, you know, gradually increasing the time that you're running, decreasing the time that you're walking. Like, there is a science to it. And it is the same thing if you're starting running. Like, you're right, what's the rush? You see other people running around the neighborhood and you're like, oh, I should probably do that, you know, but that doesn't mean you got to go out as hard as you can for a mile or whatever. Like, it's really, really important to dial it back and like just build that consistency first. I really like that.
Yeah. And just to your point of like, just because it feels okay and feels good, I think this is a big error a lot of people make post-marathon, where like a few days later, like, oh, I feel great, I can go. And I see this constantly from like influencers, I guess, or like, oh, I'm like 3 days post-marathon, I feel great, go for a run. I'm like, just because you feel good, like, oof,
yeah,
like your poor body, your poor yep. body.
And it's all happening. I feel like I've said this a lot in this, but it's all happening at the cellular level, you know, like it's not what you can see. You can't see your body repair. You can't see this inflammatory response and like the cells coming in and like cleaning the other cells out. Like it's, you know, you might think, oh, well, my knee's not inflamed, so I don't have inflammation. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Everything's inflamed after a marathon.
Yeah.
Literally everything. And it takes weeks for that to calm down. I hate saying the body's fragile, but it's definitely in a more vulnerable state post-race. Doesn't really like even a race that you are full on racing, I will say.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you see a person running 5 days after a marathon does not mean that you should do it. I know for me, I took 3 weeks off. It was amazing. It definitely allowed me to prevent burnout with running too, like a mental and physical break. And it's like, everyone needs that, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's just really
you
important.
Can doesn't mean you should, I think is. Yeah.
Yes. I feel like that's the summary of everything we've talked about.
Yeah.
But I mean, thank you so much, Shelley. I've really appreciated this talk. Where can my listeners find you?
So I am on Instagram. My handle, I think it's just Shelley _Anachete_running. I also have a website that is allinclusiverunncoaching.com.
Awesome. I'll link that in the show notes, but so everyone can find you. But thank you so much, Shelley. I really appreciated our talk.
Thank you so much.